We are pleased to be joined right now by a special guest on the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. He is the new head coach of the Calgary Flames. He is Glenn Gullitson. Glenn, good morning. Welcome to the show. Our first chat with you. We appreciate it. How are things down at Winsport?
Oh, not too bad. I just stepped out of a meeting this morning with Brad and the coaching staff's here, and it's going good. It's going good.
So, what kind of meetings are you having on July the 7th?
Ooh.
we're having training camp meetings starting in for what we're planning for September, and we're going through a bunch of things, numbers and players, and how big of a camp we want to have. So all that real fun stuff you do in July, right? We're nailing out at 8 a.m. on July 7th.
Well, and then you got the World Cup going on, so you're going to be missing some guys as well. I suppose it's not just as straightforward as it's been in years past, I guess.
No, and that's the challenge, and that's why we've met early. We've got a lot of our people with Kent and Depot here that are going to be with the World Cup teams, and then we have obviously some of our players with the World Cup team, and so we want to make sure that we're dialed in on what our responsibilities are, so things will change for us a little bit, and we're making sure we're getting ahead of that now.
And I think fans, they probably do realize but don't think about it, this is your camp. How you want it to run is how it can run. I'm sure you take feedback and suggestions and that, but that's one of the first things, I guess, in advance of a season is deciding size of camp, and like you say, does that excite you? Have you picked up things over the years that you've seen work or not work that you'll input here?
Yeah, no question. I've run three camps myself in Dallas, and then last year with Willie Desjardins down in Vancouver being out with his hip. So I've ran three camps, but I've been around about 10. So I have certain ideas, and Tree has certain ideas, and we're all going to share those and talk about it. But, you know, from the size of the practice teams or the scrimmage teams and how big, how many scrimmages we want to have. And then we've got a couple back-to-backs with we have that split squad with Edmonton. So we're just trying to navigate some of those and how big we want our teams for practices, which is most efficient. So we all have some ideas. We'll share them when we'll get it kicked out, at least a rough framework today.
We'll talk hockey, obviously, here in a moment. I just, on the personal side, it's a move to a new city. That's always exciting. And I'm sure for the purposes of this, you're moving for a very good reason. But what is this summer going to look like in terms of houses and moves? And now I know you have a family and getting them assimilated into the city. It's exciting, but hectic, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's been real hectic. And my wife's actually in the city now. My kids are still back in Vancouver. The wife is here now, and she's Nikki's looking at houses. And I feel sorry for poor Trevor, the realtor, because she's looking at least 40 or 50, and we're looking at all areas of the city. So yeah. I think it's hectic. But yeah, I just have a few commitments this summer with some kids sport things in Saskatchewan and some children's hospital stuff, that some charity stuff that we do. And then we'll get to the city as quick as we can. And probably our move-in date will probably be the middle of August.
And you made the right move there. Like, don't let the wife get the house. Because no matter what house you pick, it could be an absolute beautiful mansion. It won't be the right one. So you've definitely taken...
No, I've jumped around a little bit, boys. Some of the moves were a little quicker than I had hoped, but I've realized over the time that my wife's better served picking the house than me.
How's this move going to be for the kids? A lot of times fans forget that there are kids involved and friendships and new schools. Is that going to be a tough one for your children?
You know what, to be honest with you, it will be. They're great kids. They've moved quite a bit. I know my 15-year-old, I just sat down the other day with her, and she's turning 16, and she's moved at 8, 10, 12, and 15. So, I mean, I was like, okay, this will be the last one. So I had to promise them that. And but they're good. They've got a grandma and grandpa here in the city, and, they'll make the adjustment. It's never, when you're moving kids at that age, it's never easy, but it's a great city, and there's some excitement there. And they've done it enough that they know what they have to do to kind of make some friends and get into the swing of things. So they'll get real active. They play sports. So it'll be it's a great city for that.
Glenn Gullitson, head coach of the Calgary Flames, our guest here on Boomer in the Morning. I would have to think you got that first taste of NHL head coaching experience. You were young. It was maybe not the best scenario where the guy that hires you gets fired. You're ultimately let go. That happens. You know that, but still, that's a bitter pill. How tough was it for you you couldn't have felt like you had a really even almost an opportunity to do what you do best and to feel like you really put your imprint on things. How hard was it, even though you know coaches get fired all the time, to get that news yourself?
Yeah, that was a tough one. It was a tough one for, a lot of guys in that organization. And, when we were in Dallas, as you guys are probably well aware of, Joe Nieuwenhuyck was the GM, and Nui had hired me, but there were trying times in Dallas. We were a team that was owned by the league. Everybody talks about Phoenix, but Dallas at that time didn't have an owner. We were being run by the NHL. We were playing at the salary cap floor, and we were grinding away right there every day. And then Tom Gilardi came in and bought the team and kind of started to resurrect it. But there were changes that were made, so it was tough part of the business. I learned a lot in those 2 years, and what I got out of it was the experience of being a head coach in the NHL and then going to Vancouver and being an assistant. It gave me 5 or 6 years in the league, and that helps. And there's certainly things that you would do different. There's lots of things you've done well, but at the end of the day, it was a great experience. Met some great people. Dallas has really turned things around under Tom, and it's good for them. But it was a good experience to go through that in the National Hockey League for sure.
There are some who, now this is coaches, and even some that aren't coaches, I think they subscribe to the notion that once you're a head coach, you don't want to go back. You remain a head coach, whether it means going to the American League, whether you go overseas, you remain a head coach. You didn't. Was that a tough decision?
It wasn't. And one of the things that, those 2 years in Dallas taught me is that I needed some more time in the league. So I'd been a head coach for about 14 years prior to that. And I thought that I needed some more experience in the National Hockey League, and had never played in the league and just coached for 2 years. I felt I needed to work with somebody else and learn from somebody else. And we're coming through the minors, guys. You've got an assistant, but man, you're on your own a lot. And coming up through those ranks, I felt just when I left Dallas that it was the right thing for me to do to stay in the National Hockey League and work for somebody and learn and use that time as a learning curve. And obviously, I worked for John Tortorella in Vancouver. And then I worked for Willie Desjardins in Vancouver, and lots of great coaches I came across: Perry Pern, Doug Lidster, Willie. I worked with Curt Frazier in Dallas. So all those experiences helped ground you out as a coach, and I just felt I needed to stay in the league and keep doing that.
Did you ever have a doubt that you might not get that head coach crack again? There are only there's only 30 teams, right? And you had that taste, and it was quick and it was short. How fearful were you that maybe that was going to be it?
You know what? I'll answer this real honest. I wasn't fearful. I enjoyed what I was doing. I was learning. It was just like any other work environment. I was learning. I felt like I was moving forward. Did I always have it in the back of my head? For sure I did. Did I always want the chance? No question. But like you guys know, and you just said, there's only 30 of these jobs. There's lots of great coaches. I never started out thinking that, hey, I'm going to be an NHL coach. That's my goal. I started out thinking, I want to be the best coach I can be. And I just kept doing that as an assistant coach and let the chips fall where they may. And, certainly when I got the opportunity to interview here, I was really excited. And, I'm excited to be back behind the bench. Everyone wants to run their own bench. Certainly I did. But at that time, I didn't focus on that. I think it would be too hard for me to focus on that. I just focused on my job and trying to learn and become better.
Chatting with Glenn Gullitson, head coach of the Calgary Flames, here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Coach, tell us about your assistants. It was rumored for not very long and made official yesterday that you brought two assistants in. Where do you cross paths, and what are they going to do for you coming up here next season?
Well, the first guy that I brought in was I needed somebody to run the D and to go over to take charge of the penalty kill. Obviously, you guys know we want to make the penalty kill here a little bit better than last year. So Paul Girard came in. Paul and I were together in Texas, in Austin, Texas, in the minors. Paul was with me in Dallas. Paul's run the PK and defense for me for 4 years. And, you know, during the time when we were in Austin, you know, I think he had the second ranked penalty kill, and then Dallas, we were 13th. And then, you know, he's been in Utica with, Travis Green and that crew with Vancouver for the last 3 years. And, you know, they finished fourth and sixth. So we worked hand in hand, on the penalty kill. During the last 3 years, we've had a real strong penalty kill both in Vancouver and Utica, and I needed him to come in and kind of solidify that. And then Paul's experience just goes way back. You know, he was he's been back in Lowell. He's had a plethora of defensemen, a laundry list of guys, you know, right back from, you know, he's working with Chara in Lowell to Trevor Daly to Matty Niskanen to Sheldon Surrey. And he's worked with a lot of D in the minors in the NHL. And I just thought it was an important position for me to have somebody that had a lot of experience, 20 years of experience in developing defensemen, and certainly a guy who is really adept with the penalty kill.
So you've had 3.5 weeks since you were hired. You've got your staff entirely assembled. You've now got 2 or 3 days to look over some of the young kids in the organization. How comfortable are you? Is this starting to feel like your organization, your team yet?
You know what? It is. It was funny. Yesterday I spoke last night at 7:30. I spoke with the all the players at development camp, and we had a good an hour conversation. We went through some things, and we had a little question and answer, and it was really open. It was honest. It was fun. It was serious. And for me, that chat with the players, it's whenever the players get around. The management stuff, you know, you go through, and but you know, when all the players are here and you get to address the guys and watch them on the ice, that's when the juices get going. So yeah, the answer to that question, certainly yes. When I got to see all our prospects here and talk with them and see them on the ice, and then you kind of say, okay, you want to put your stamp on these young men.
Wanted to talk, and I know you've spoken about this, and it's kind of, we're going back in time, but Alex Chiasson, guy that comes in by way of trade from Ottawa, you had him for a short amount of time in Dallas, and now we're seeing the, you know, Lyndon Vay comes in, and you have relations with Hunter Shinkarak. It's all kind of making sense. But with Chiasson specifically, what was it that you saw that you hope he can rekindle? And I'm guessing it's in everybody's best interest if he can rekindle it a bit.
Yeah, we had Alex in Dallas. We drafted him. He was at development camps, and then he played for me for only about 6 weeks. I think he said scored 7 or 9 goals for me in 12 or 13 games. But what Alex does real well is he's a big body. He can protect pucks. He's got a hockey IQ, and he goes to the net. And we just felt in the West more so, I feel, than in the East. You know, this is a little heavier here. You need a little bit more of a blend. And I think the West style suits Alex better than the East. And we wanted to get him out here and get a big body, a right shot on the wing, and a guy that can go to the net and tip pucks. And that's going to be his job. And I've talked to Alex, and I spelled that out for him completely. And, you know, he's really excited. I knew he wasn't excited to be in that part of that trade in Ottawa, and he's completely excited to be back out here. So, you know, it was a chance to bring somebody in that's young, that's big, has some talent. I know he's a great kid. He works hard, and he's a big right shot, and I think he'll be a good fit in the West.
And I guess some of that will apply to Troy Brouwer, but obviously I would think the expectation level is going to be a little bit higher for him. I know that Treliving will defer to the coach when it comes to utilization. We're a long ways away from September, but how do you see Brouwer fitting into that top six?
Well, first I see Brouwer as a real leader for us. It's a veteran presence. It's a man for some of our young guys to play with, a big, you know, all those things. He's a big right shot. He can play power play. He can play penalty kill. He's a big body. I just the biggest thing with Troy is when we did our homework on him, he's a great penalty killer. He's a right shot that can take draws in the penalty kill circle. He played the center position in the middle on the power play in that lethal Washington power play. Gives us that right shot presence in front of the net. And then the character that we targeted in our guys and our free agent acquisitions, he just lined up so well in that department. So to surround some of our young guys with a man like that who can play in all situations, it was just such a good acquisition for us.
Well, you've been really good with your time, and I know you're dying to get back into some meetings.
He's poking his head out here. He's thinking I'm talking to my wife or something.
Yeah, I know.
Get back in there.
the scrimmage goes at 9:30 this morning. Is it going to be some line matching? How serious are they taking this?
Yeah, no, we're not getting any of that. We told these guys here, we want you guys to play. We want you guys to compete. We want to see your competitiveness, but we want to see how good a hockey players you are. But we won't get into any line matching. Not yet, anyway.
You got your cowboy get-ups set yet? Have you been stampeding in years past or not?
I have, and I look awful in a cowboy hat, so I'm not even going to go there.
I thought that was part of the job. I thought that was a prerequisite. You got to
ask you about that in the interview?
Yeah, you got to go hiking with Conroy, and you got to have a cowboy hat and boots. Those were the two things I thought.
That's tough. I love the rodeo, but I don't know about the hat if I can pull it off.
Glenn, thanks for coming on this show. Our first chance to talk with you. We'll talk with you a lot. Welcome to Calgary and best of luck. Have a great summer. And before you know it, we'll be at her.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
You bet. Glenn Gallitzin, the head coach, still new head coach of the Calgary Flames.